Canto 8, Chapter 6. The Suras and Asuras declare a truce. Sri Shuka said, O King, the Supreme Lord Hari, the Controller, thus being glorified by the godly souls, then appeared before them with an effulgence of 1,000 rising suns. For that reason, the vision of the demigods was blocked that very moment. They could not see each other any longer, nor see anything in any direction, neither in the sky nor on the land, not to mention the Almighty One Himself. The moment the Supreme Lord Virincha, Brahma and Lord Shiva discerned His immaculate appearance that was as beautiful as a dark gem, with the white of His eyes as pink as a lotus heart, His yellow silken dress that shone like molten gold, the great beauty and grace of all His limbs, the cheeks of His enchanting face, His smile, His beautiful eyebrows and the attractive arrangement of His jeweled helmet, the decoration of all His ornaments, the light from His earrings, His belt and bangles, His necklace and ankle bells, the Kaustubha gem on His chest that moved with Sri Lakshmi, His flower garlands and His chakra discus and other weapons pleasing Him in their personal forms, all the immortals together with the Supreme Personality of Destruction, Shiva, prostrated before Him. The master of all the gods, Brahma, then worshipped Him as follows. Sri Brahma said, The one who never took His birth, but always makes His appearance, the one free from the modes of nature, that ocean of bliss beyond all existence, He, smaller than an atom, whose form can never be conceived, You, the Supreme Authority, we time and again offer our obeisances. This form of You, O best of all persons, is worshipable and auspicious to all who in their yoga practice are striving in accordance with the Vedic directions of the Tantras. O Supreme Director, we can see both ourselves and the three worlds within You having the form of the universe. This framework of the soul has its beginning in You, its middle in You, and its end in You. You, as the beginning, the middle, and the end of the universe, are like the earth that is the ruling element of an earthen pot. This universe, entirely depending on You, that You, by means of Your deluding material energy, have created, this universe that generated from You and of which You are the shelter, You have entered. Developed minds connected to You and who are versed in the scriptures see from a spiritual perspective that while physically speaking a transformation of the three modes takes place, You nevertheless are not determined by those modes. People who by their practice of yoga are intelligent with the basic qualities of nature will, so confirm the scholars, attain You the way one obtains fire from wood, the nectar of milk from cows, food grains and water from the earth, and a livelihood from endeavoring. Now that we today see You appear before us in the full of Your glory, as the master with the lotus navel for whom we longed such a long time, we have attained our goal to see the Supreme of Happiness, like being elephants who, in distress because of a forest fire, reach the water of the Ganges. About what could we inform You who are the witness of all and everything? Please, O great soul present within and without, can You, for us, the rulers of the entire universe, do that for which we have sought Your lotus feet? I, He from the mountain, Shiva, the enlightened souls and those led by founding fathers like Daksha, are like sparks in relation to the fire that You are. How can we independently from You arrive at understanding, O my Lord? Kindly bestow upon us the good fortune of the mantras for the demigods and the Brahmins. Sri Shuka said, Thus being worshipped by the godly souls led by Virincha, Brahma, He, understanding their hearts, with a voice rumbling like the clouds, replied those who with folded hands were holding their breath. Even though the Lord independently could perform the duties of all the God-conscious souls together, He, as their Lord and Master, wanted to enjoy the pastime of churning the ocean and therefore spoke to them as follows. the Supreme Lord said. Listen, O Brahma and Shiva, O gods, to what I am going to tell you. All of you, listen attentively, for that will assure you, Suras, of the ultimate happiness. Just settle temporarily until you flourish again for the blessing of a truce with the Daityas and Danavas who presently enjoy a good time. O gods, if it is important to one's duties, one should even make terms with one's enemies, like a snake would do with a mouse, depending the position he is in. Forthwith, endeavor for producing the nectar, drinking which any living entity in the grip of death can become immortal. Cast all kinds of creepers, grasses, vegetables and herbs into the ocean of milk and attentively engage with my help, O gods, in churning, using Vasuki, the snake, for the rope and the mountain Mandara for the churning rod. It will engage your Daitya opponents, but you will reap the fruit of that activity, the nectar. Do not get angry about it, because to engage in peace is the best way to attain all one's goals. Accept, therefore, everything that the Asuras demand, O Suras. Do not fear the Kalakuta, false time poison, that will appear from the ocean of milk, and take care not to be led by greed, lust or anger, with the result of the churning. Sri Shuka said, after the Almighty Lord thus had advised the demigods, the Supreme Personality, the Controller moving independently, disappeared from sight, O King. Upon having offered him, the Supreme Lord, their obeisances, the Great Father and Lord Bhava, Shiva, returned to their abodes. The Suras then approached King Bali. The honorable ruler of the Daityas, King Bali, saw that, even though his captains stood prepared, their divine enemies had no plans to fight them, and thus he held back. He knew when it was time to fight and when it was time for negotiations. They together approached the son of Virochana, Bali, who said before them, he who, well protected by the Asura commanders, as the conqueror of all the worlds, was blessed with great opulence. The great Indra pleased him with friendly words to the best of his ability and submitted to him, with great intelligence, all that they had learned from the Supreme Personality. That was, politically spoken, all very acceptable to both the Daitya ruler and the other Asura chiefs Shambhara, Arishtanemi and the rest of the inhabitants of Tripura. After next, having decided to be friendly with each other, Deva and Asura embarked on the supreme enterprise of churning for the nectar, O chastiser of the enemies. For that purpose they, with great force and loud cries, uprooted Mandara mountain, embraced it firmly, and brought it to the ocean. Carrying the load over a great distance, Indra and the son of Virochana, being fatigued, could not support the load any longer and dropped it on the road. The gigantic golden mountain, falling down right there, crushed with its great weight many of the enlightened and unenlightened souls. The Supreme Lord, seated on the back of Garuda, then appeared before them, who had broken their arms and legs, as also had lost their courage. Simply glancing over the immortals and mortals who were crushed by the falling mountain, he brought them back to life unscathed and free from grief. With the greatest ease, he placed with one hand the mountain on Garuda, also sat on him, and went to the ocean surrounded by the Suras and Asuras. Having arrived there, Garuda, the greatest of all birds, unloaded the mountain from his shoulder, went to the waterside with it, and put it down. Thereupon, he was sent away by the Lord, so that he would not eat Vasuki.